Chapter 23. The Unexpected Ally, U.S. Senator Ted Kennedy. It appears from these poll results that any attempt to temper or repeal reform efforts such as charter schools may not be viewed favorably by the public. January to February, 1992. Once Senator David Durenberger introduced in late July his U.S. Senate legislation to establish startup grants for chartered schools, I didn't hear about it for a while. Things move slowly in Washington. But unbeknownst to me and most others, much was happening behind the scenes in the nation's capital. By January, chartering would receive an important boost from an unexpected ally. The America 2000 Excellence in Education Act, the major education initiative proposed by President George H.W. Bush and Education Secretary Lamar Alexander, had been introduced on May 23, 1991, as S2 in the U.S. Senate. Senator Ted Kennedy of Massachusetts, chair of the Senate Labor Committee, was lead sponsor of the S2 version to be considered on the floor of the Senate on January 24, 1992. Beginning in August, Durenberger and Senator Joe Lieberman set out to insert language into S2 based on the bill they introduced to authorize federal funds to support chartered schools. This breathing room from August 1991 to January 1992 allowed Durenberger to build awareness as both a public and a private messenger. That is, it gave him time to work with Kennedy. The two had always worked well together, and they were social friends in the sense that Durenberger visited Kennedy's home a number of times. In his 2011 interview, Durenberger described their relationship this way. "Guys like Ted Kennedy, who are always legislating, a better way of doing this, a better way of doing that, are always looking for Republicans, someone like me, who is not only smart and willing to work with them, but has a constituency. Getting things done is where it's all at, not the politics." John Schrader described the respect between the senators who were both on the Senate Labor Committee in his April 2011 interview. "Kennedy was a good chairman, very attentive, listened to witnesses. When Durenberger would ask a question, I could just tell intuitively, watching Kennedy, how hard he was listening to Durenberger's question and the setup to his question. Maybe he didn't even agree with the road he was going down, but he really did listen and felt he learned a lot." I've heard Durenberger say the same thing about Kennedy. That Kennedy was a very effective legislator. He really worked hard. Whether it was the power of the Durenberger-Kennedy relationship or the power of the chartering idea, or both, Kennedy agreed to include the chartering concept from Durenberger and Lieberman's bill as a provision in S2. The new provision would allow states to use a portion of the block grant authorized under S2 to help establish new public schools. But because the legislation wasn't explicit that chartered schools were eligible as these new schools, Durenberger entered into a colloquy with Kennedy on the Senate floor on January 24, 1992. A colloquy is a process that establishes legislative intent in the congressional record when clarification is needed about an issue. During that colloquy, Kennedy first read verbatim the criteria that defined chartered schools as public schools under Minnesota law. He then confirmed, "With these understandings, it is my intention that chartered or outcome-based schools, as defined by Minnesota law, will be eligible for funding under this provision." Next, the senators discussed a new definition of public school. "As a public school that operates under the authority of a state education agency or local education agency," and confirmed that a chartered school, as defined in Minnesota law, met the definition. The senators concluded, "Durenberger, I want to thank the senator for his willingness to add language to S2 authorizing startup funding for Minnesota's chartered schools, an important innovation in education reform that I trust will soon emerge in other states as well. Kennedy. I would like to thank the senator for his efforts to expand the number and diversity of public school choices available in his and other states, and for his leadership nationally in helping to improve the quality of education for all Americans. S2 and its chartering provision would have a long road ahead. However, I cannot overstate the significance of this colloquy exchange between Durenberger and Kennedy. It had tremendous impact on the chartering movement across the nation. According to Schrader, it was evidence that charter schools were starting to be known. Also, it was really important to establish that charter schools were public schools, even though they might not be directly under school districts, as we've always defined public schools. To get Kennedy to say that, and that it was his intent that they would be eligible as new public schools, was important. It wasn't an automatic thing for Kennedy to do, because particularly the National Education Association was pretty strongly opposed to charter schools, particularly chartered schools that weren't authorized by school districts. And Kennedy was close to them and did a lot of heavy lifting for the teachers' unions over the years, so for him to legitimize this was significant. The importance of Kennedy acknowledging and supporting chartering in his legislation and what it meant for our Minnesota legislation wasn't lost on me. In Minnesota, Kennedy's liberal politics were golden. On February 21, 1992, I sent a memo to all my Minnesota legislative colleagues summarizing the chartering activity in Congress. I attached the colloquy for all to read. I emphasized that startup funds could be available in the future on the federal level. That memo followed my February 7, 1992 memo to key DFL colleagues and legislative leaders that included data from a Harris poll on education reform published in the winter 1992 issue of Agenda, a national education magazine. The poll's headline read, "The Public Takes Reform to Heart," and its key finding was this. The latest in a series of original surveys finds the American public playing for keeps when it comes to education reform and suggests that the state of the schools will be a central issue in the 1992 elections. The following are poll results for some of the key reform issues related to chartering. Poll question. Do you favor giving individual schools much more authority over their teaching and spending decisions? Favor, 68%. Oppose, 29%. Giving teachers a greater decision-making power over what is taught and how it is taught? Favor, 74%. Opposed, 24%. Freeing schools from tight regulations? Favor, 58%. Opposed, 37%. Making individual schools accountable for how well they educate their students? Favor, 93%. Oppose, 6%. Emphasizing actual student performance in learning rather than learning how to score well on tests? Favor, 91%. Oppose, 7%. Finally, in rating the president, Congress, and political parties, the pollster had these observations about the public's response. Politically, it appears that President Bush is far from gaining high marks for being the education president, 36% satisfactory, 62% unsatisfactory. By the same token, however, he comes off better than Congress, 19% satisfactory, 79% unsatisfactory. This advantage is tempered by the 10-point lead the Democrats have, 40% to 30%, in credibility in being seen as better able to improve the quality of education in America. With the poll results attached, I ended my memo to DFL leaders. As you know, Minnesota has been at the national forefront with its past emphasis on choice and new focus on chartered schools. It appears from these poll results that any attempt to temper or repeal reform efforts such as chartered schools may not be viewed favorably by the public. I had a reason for writing both these memos to my colleagues. I was well aware that in the 1992 legislative session, which had started January 6th, some members of the Minnesota House of Representatives would attempt to repeal the chartering legislation. And frankly, I was well aware of how difficult it was for teachers and parents to form chartered schools. As Representative Becky Kelso had described the climate in Education Week on January 15, 1992, "It's generating more discussion sooner than I expected, and it's every bit as controversial as I had feared." It was surprising to see how far chartering had progressed on the national level just 6 months after passage of the Minnesota legislation. But that progress was necessary for those of us in Minnesota fighting to sustain the law and for those charter applicants working to get their schools approved. It gave us cover and hope. The road ahead would be both rocky and lonely.